child becomes warm and then sneezes 7 times. I wonder this week if Luke's story was written to bring to mind each of these stories. Stories should be told and written down so that we may believe. But believe what exactly? Believe in the God who brings life out of death, to be sure. But notice that these stories are about dead people being resuscitated. I think it's not by chance that the church confesses every Sunday, I believe in the resurrection of the body, and not I believe in the resuscitation of the body. So to tell you the truth, I wish Luke's story at the beginning of the church's life went something like this. They took Peter to a room upstairs. All of them stood beside him weeping. And Peter comforted them with these words. Know that because of him who died and was raised on the third day, Tabitha now lives not in the grave, but in the room Christ has made for her eternally in God's love. And he exhorted them to believe, and bear witness in the face of death to the love that is stronger than death. I wish this, not because I think the story as Luke tells it cannot be true. Certainly, God brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ is able to resuscitate dead bodies. Rather, I wish this because 2,000 years later, we are still mistaking the miracle of resuscitation for the more radical work of resurrection. Death and resurrection, Rachel Held Evans wrote, it's the impossibility around which every impossibility of Christian faith orbits. Evans declares that God is in the business of raising the dead to a whole new life. So you want to be in on God's business, she writes. You better prepare to follow God on the rock-bottom, scorched earth, dead on the rival corners of this world, including your own heart. Because that's where God works. It's just death and resurrection, over and over again, day after day. Death and resurrection as God reaches down into our deepest graves. And with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, rests from us death's grip on us in the form of our pride, our apathy, our fear, our prejudice, our anger, our hurt, our despair. The woman who wrote those words died last Saturday. Rachel was a 37-year-old recovering evangelical Christian, the author of 4 books, a young wife, and mother of 2. Her daughter returned one this last week. Apparently, whatever the doctors used to treat an infection caused seizures and brain swelling, so that when they brought her out of an induced coma, she died. That's a woman. Her husband posted the news and then wrote, I keep hoping it's a nightmare from which I will wake. But there was no Peter to rush to her bedside and usher her family out of the room so that he could, with a word, bring her back to life. Instead, it was her friend, the tattooed Lutheran pastor, Nadia Goldsweiler, who stood by her bedside while she lay in a coma and did the work of death your servant, go in peace. In times that we are collapsing, Old Swimmer told the Lazarus Hall of the New Yorker, these are words that have been worn smooth by generations of the faithful. 2,000 years of death and resurrection, over and over again, day after day. I wish Peter had invited the widows to surround Tabitha's bed. I wish he had anointed her forehead with frankincense, the foreshadowing gift of the wise men to the baby Jesus, the oil used by the women to prepare Jesus' body for death. I wish he had simply said, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. Because this, the not resuscitating bodies, will be the church's witness and work until Jesus comes again. Trusting those who are dear to us, in God's never failing love for this life and the life to come. But more, for the work of death and resurrection has to do not only with our personal living body, but also with the church's life and death. Why do we keep resuscitating dead institutional forms, dead congregations, dead relationships, and dead dogmas in a frantic effort to revive the church? Rather than living as a people who have died to death's power in the waters of baptism, and then we're born as a people who are doing our fallible best to follow a God who knows his way out of the grave. The message of the church is a specific word, Robert Jensen says, death and resurrection. If the church did not get this word said, all the other words it might say are better said by someone else. Or as Rachel Held Evans put it in an op-ed 3 years ago that I posted, speaking for millennials, you can get a cup of coffee with your friends anywhere, but the church is the only place you can get ashes smudged on your forehead as a reminder of your mortality. You can be dazzled with a light show at a concert on any given weekend, but the church is the only place that fills a sanctuary with candlelight and hymns on Christmas Eve. You can spend all sorts of free swag for brand loyalty online. A church is the only place you are named a beloved child of God with a cold plunge into the water. You can share food with the hungry at any homeless shelter. But only the church teaches that a shared meal brings us into the very presence of God. What finally brought Rachel back after years of running away wasn't lattes or skinny jeans. She says it was the sacraments, which don't need to be repackaged or rebranded Jewish communities are just like the thousands around the world who are developmentally challenged. They are spiritual homes whose core belief is that strength is revealed through weakness and human vulnerability. And when given room to grow in trust, creates community. Likewise, the church's strength is revealed when the church doesn't offer a cure or a quick fix, but just sits down and helps us cry. As Brene Brown puts the matter appropriately on Mother's Day, I went to church thinking it would be like an epidural, that it would take the pain away. The church isn't like an epidural. It's like a midwife. I thought faith would say, I'll take away the pain. But what it ended up saying was, I'll sit with you in it. Finally, so, I wish Peter had loved these widows, these lambs of Jesus' flock, in the way Jesus had loved him. When Jesus commanded Peter to tend his sheep on the beach that morning, the word Jesus used for love was agapeo, meaning self-sacrificing, self-emptying love. It is the love of the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Peter responded, yes, Lord, I phileo, saying, meaning, Lord, I love you like a brother, phileo, Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. But the love Jesus commands is not a personality trait. It is shorthand for a narrative, death and resurrection. Therefore, to love, Robert Jensen writes, is to accept death. It is to give up my cautious claims to hanging on to myself. Peter one day will love in this way, just not on this day.